Lord, we thank you tonight. We give you praise and glory. We ask that you align our hearts with truth tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Luke chapter 10. We're continuing from where we stopped yesterday. We are looking at the effect of the name of Jesus on the devil. Hallelujah. The effect of the name of Jesus on the devil. A very good illustration of that is captured in Luke 10. Luke 10 verse 17 and 18. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Somebody says subject. Now the word subject in basic Greek is hypostasis. That's the word subject. But the word used here is hypostaso, subject. That means willingly subject. Now, so we have an expectation. If you use the name of Jesus against the devil, there is an expectation. The expectation is that the devil should willingly submit. Willingly. That's the expectation. Now, we need to teach this so that if by any means you are on a mission that will bring you into close range with demons, there is an expectation. The expectation is that we are expecting the devil to willingly submit when we engage the name of Jesus. And somebody might be asking a question that I was in a situation where I was trying to cast out some devils, and the devils did not seem very obedient. So what do you have to say about that? Now, there are a few factors why the devil may not be obedient, and all of the factors are because of you, not because of the name of Jesus. And so if you follow the teaching that we began to advance, you will see some of the things that might hinder the potency of that name on your lips. Alright? That word means to obey, to be subordinate, to be under obedience, to subject, to be in subjection. To submit self unto. Now, in all of this, the expectation is that the name of Jesus is expected to command obedience from the demonic realm if we engage the name of Jesus. Now, but Jesus did not stop there. He took us to the next verse to tell us the mechanism. That which happened in the realm of the Spirit when the apostles were using the name in the natural. The reason why the name was potent in the natural was because the name transcended and commanded obedience beyond the natural. Right? So, he said, even the devils were subject to us in your name. And then Jesus said, this is what happened. While you guys were doing what you were doing, I was seeing the reality that your authority was creating from the realm of the spirit. And in verse 18, it reveals to us the situation that was captured in the spirit realm while the name of Jesus was being applied. Now, Jesus said, "And I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." I saw what? Fall. Like what? Do you realize that those guys, when they went for the mission, can you close that door and switch off this fan? You see, sometimes we need to differentiate which sound is from this hall, which sound is from somewhere else. If the noise is... Okay, that's better. Hallelujah. Do you realize that on that mission, those guys did not have anything to do directly with Satan? Where Satan was that he fell from was an elevated place in the heavens. Right? The guys did not have anything to do directly with what? Satan. Now, when I was teaching about wielding territorial authority, I may not have any need to go to BSU and say, "The prince that is operating here, I bind you. I don't have business with him. What I came for is souls. I came for people. I came to establish the kingdom of God. And if I am utilizing the authority of God within the scope of my mission, it will dethrone that principality. As I'm doing my own business." The guys did not go and they did not start contending with Satan where he was. Because somebody was asking a question the other day and saying, that God spoke to him about the principalities. I'd like you to take your Bible and read critically. You will never find the Jesus binding the prince of the city. Never. Alright? Coming into the territory. And the reason why he's coming is he has better things to do. He comes to deliver people. He comes to set people free. Right? And as he's doing that, as he's using the authority of the kingdom, doing that, it will be displacing things in the heavenlies. Now, you don't go and start facing those things in the heavenlies. The reason why you don't go and start facing them is because, one, first and foremost, that's not your assignment. Secondly, if you make that your assignment, those princes in the heavenlies, they have a right to be where they are. It means, yes, they have a right to be where they are. It is your own priesthood on earth that will dethrone them, not that you go and attack them. Do you understand that? Now, as the guys were doing the things that they did, now, can you see the testimony that they brought back? They say, even the demons were subject to us. Amen. As they were reaching out to people, as they were preaching to people, as they were evangelizing, the demons in people came out. The ones responsible for sickness came out. The ones responsible for death left. People were brought back to life. The reason why those manifestations are taking place is because that your thing that you are doing is affecting the installation of darkness. And the prince of darkness that is in the pinnacle of the pyramid of darkness in that place will be displaced when your authority proves to be superior to his. And that displacement takes place without your knowledge. If you see that the atmosphere has opened, and when you say the name of Jesus, you see manifestation taking place. Actually, what happened is that the prince... Now, so you don't need to go against the prince. No, that's not your business. Your business is go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Your mission is to people. As you are doing that mission, the prince that has kept them in captivity will be dethroned. And when you dethrone a prince, you can plunder all the goods in his house. Yes. If he has claim to the land, you can take that land. If he has claim to families, you can take those families. Anything that is kept under his custody is accessible when you have plundered, broken through his structural defense. It means that his authority within that landscape has been shaken off. I know a lot of people that go into cities and they attack the princes. Those people get attacks that they cannot fathom, because that's not the order. The order is minister to people. If you find demons there, cast them out in the name of Jesus. So Jesus now gave us what? Hindsight. As you are doing what you are doing, that you think is natural is affecting the architecture of the negative supernatural within that territory. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, in order for me to balance that, because that my statement is subject to balance. In order for you to balance that, you can come to a particular place and the devil shows you something. That there's a particular spirit that is responsible for something. And he shows you. In fact, I've been for a crusade before. I preached the first night, no power. Few people gave their life to Christ. But there was no power. So I refused to eat that night. And I began to pray from 12 midnight. When I got to 3 a.m., the Holy Spirit tapped me and called the names of the three demons in that place. So I mentioned those names and I rebuked them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Then I went for the crusade in the evening. And then the installations broke. Now that, I had the authority to do that because the Holy Spirit gave me a revelation. So that revelation becomes my authority to confront that spirit. If not, my campaign has nothing to do with them. If I'm successful in my campaign, it means they are displaced. Is inversely proportional. If the gate of hell is prevailing, it means that the church is dying. If the church is rising, it means the gate of hell shall not prevail. So it's inversely proportional. As you are advancing, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the devil, is taking the blows and is being shut down. Hallelujah. And so you attack spirits. You attack spirits. If the Holy Spirit gives you revelation, an insight that a particular oppression is actually as a result of a particular spirit, you can attack that spirit and say, you spirit of this, I bind you. That revelation has already automatically installed you as a law enforcement agent that heaven wants to use to bring down the oppression of that spirit. Do you understand that? Now, if there is no such revelation, don't attack spirit. Just go straight and smuggle the gospel in. And if you find demonic interferences, you shut them down. How? In the name of Jesus. Now, have you ever been to a crusade? This is very peculiar to open air meetings. You need a lot of prayers to permeate the atmosphere. In order for the gospel to travel by free course. Because the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hidden unto them that are lost, of whom the God of this world hath blinded their hearts and their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, should shine on them. Hallelujah. And so there's something that is binding the hearts of the people. There's something that is stopping the people from seeing the light that is in the gospel. That's an issue of contention in the first place. That's warfare in the first place. And we begin to war so that which has covered the heart of men will be broken. And that the light of the glorious gospel will begin to shine. You understand what I'm talking about? That prayer we are praying is because we want the gospel to prosper. Are you with me? Now, we can continue in that prayer. Continue in that prayer until we have peace. That the Holy Spirit has settled that matter. Okay? We pray other prayers. Then we come to the crusade ground. And then when you come to the crusade ground, the place is thick. Or you find young men trying to distract the crusade. They are dancing all kinds of dance, just doing all kinds of stuff. It means that the principality that is in that place is actually regulating them in order to distract you, the preacher. No, but my mission is very simple. Oh, you don't know demons? Oh, man. My mission is simple. My mission is to smuggle something. And in the midst of smuggling that thing, if you are going to smuggle it in effectively, you are going to destroy some infrastructure. Hallelujah. So my own work, the way, you know, we are different. For me, if I want to pierce through the atmosphere, what I do is I begin to teach. If I raise any scripture, I will explain it very well. I raise any scripture, I will explain it very well. My own anointing comes when I explain scripture. You need to know how your own comes. Some of you, your anointing comes when you pray loud. So when you see those manifestations, stop that you're preaching and get back to your horn. What God has given you that has authority. What God has given me that has authority is the ability to expound the scriptures. So when I see all those distractions, I begin to expound. What I'm doing is I am invoking the horn, the part of my life, the part of my ministry that God has endorsed with authority. As long as I can explain the Bible, what has installed me as a preacher is called forth. Hallelujah. And it begins to permeate the environment. And suddenly, those people that were doing that dance, the dance won't be sweet again. Because another spirit is taking over the environment. And when you begin to see things come into obedience to the gospel of Christ, it means there is an installation that has been removed. So as you are doing your own business, don't worry about the infrastructure. If you have prayed very well, if you have tarried before God very well, and you come out to proclaim this, don't worry about it. Just keep doing what God said you should do. And in the process, simultaneously, the spirit realm, the infrastructure that is on ground, will tear apart. And it will be evidenced in, you know, the success of the delivery of the word of God and people turning over to the Lord. Evangelistic ministry has a lot to do with expelling demons. We don't talk evangelism until we talk about expelling demons. Expelling them. The demons of blindness on the hearts of men. The demons of darkness on the minds of men. We must be able to expel those demons. And we do that in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, while they were doing that, the infrastructure of Satan that was in the territory, that was actually providing support for the will of the devil, that infrastructure was dislocated. So much so that Satan himself, he fell like lightning from where? From heaven. So help me preach to your neighbor. Don't go for principalities. Go for souls. Go for souls. There's one of my friends, he likes principalities, like cutting. His work is those days. His own work, he likes, oh my God, the principality. He didn't live long. Because he did not follow the protocol. There's no principality that is so strong, but follow the protocol. If you are going to do spiritual business, allow the chief spirit himself to teach you how to do it. Alright? Don't focus on principalities. Focus on what? On souls. As you are doing the business of souls and you are trusting God for the anointing to pierce through, for the anointing to deliver, for the anointing to break through the darkness on their minds, break through the gloominess on their hearts, as you are trusting God for that and the anointing begins to seep in, the expectation is sure. The demons must obey. Hallelujah. The expectation is sure. The demons must what? Obey. Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, quickly. Let's see another case. This case is more dicey. The first case we read is the case of evangelism, open evangelism. The second case, which is a little bit more complex, is the case I want to introduce to us. Hallelujah. Amen. So the case of open evangelism is more straightforward. But the case in the book of Acts chapter 16 is a complex case. You will need patience and spiritual maturity to be able to administer authority in this context. Are you still with me? I am trusting God that if we get into the dry season this year, amen, we'll do a crusade. Yes, it will go probably in the month of November. We'll come out of this classroom. This place is a burden. And then we'll go to the field. You will have enough demons to cast out. I've been casting too many demons out. It's time for you to cast a few of them out. If you go out and you see God manifesting, you won't like this classroom again. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are all going to go out. And when we go out, there will be action. There will be action out there. You have the opportunity to minister to people so that they get filled with the Holy Ghost. You have the opportunity to cast out devils. In the school of ministry, practice is superior to learning. And what you are doing now is learning. But if you go to the field and you begin to function, that is practice. That's where you get the confidence for ministry. Hallelujah. Like Jerry, when you were in Naka, you didn't have the confidence. So we sent you to the mission field and you began to practice the things that you were taught. And then you now saw it working with you. Prior to that time, you think it only works for the pastor. But when you go to the field and you see it working with you, you now have confidence. Now, what we need to instill in the heart of every man is that confidence for ministry. Because we are going to go out this year. You must have souls to present that me, in 3 months, I have 3 souls. I have 4 souls. I have 5 souls. This one had to cast out a demon from her. It's a demon. What was the name of that demon we discovered in our during prayers last time? Huh? Please help me. The lady called the name, a strange name. Okay. It's all right. Hallelujah. Now, as you go out there, you'll find strange names too. Amen. Now, so this evangelical, Luke chapter 10, verse 17 and 18 is evangelical. It's straightforward. We pray that which is blocking the hearts of men should get open. Hallelujah. Now, this one is more complex. Acts chapter 16 is a bit complex. This one is not in the field of evangelism. This one is in church. This agent came to church. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. This one is more difficult. Not difficult as per in casting them out, but difficult as per identifying them. Are you with me? And when you start a home cell, how many of you are home cell pastors? Here, home cell. Lift the hand, don't be. Okay. We have few home cell pastors, okay? Home cell pastors. All right. You are a home cell pastor? Okay. Now, when you start, you set up a home cell. Where is Pastor Dan? The home cells are too few. Let some of these people, they have enough muscles. We have taught them for too long. In fact, I want to stop teaching now. I have taught too much. Some of you should be raising the dead by now. Hallelujah. Send them out. Let them meet with demons. And in the name of the Lord, cast them out. Practice is better. Than what? Than learning. Now, So you start a prayer cell and you begin to pray. People begin to come together and pray. How many of you run cells like that? Apart from our own prayer cell pastors. You have a group like that that prays and you are... Alright, you do stuff like that. Okay. Now, when you begin to run such a prayer group, it's very attractive, especially when the candlelight of that prayer group is erected in heaven. You see, before you start manufacturing pure water, you have to visit NAFDAC. And NAFDAC will give you NAFDAC number to certify. They'll come to your laboratory and check your processes, check the concentration of chlorine, check some of the factors and the chemicals that you are using for your process, especially when you are using the chemical line. You can also use distillation, reverse osmosis method. But they will check your technology, check the process, and they will see how hygienic it is. And the outcome of your production, they will check the pH. The pH is supposed to be 7. It's supposed to be midpoint, preferably alkaline. All those things and investigations are done on the water process plant. And then you are given a NAFDAC number, certifying that your commodity is good enough for consumption. Now, in ministry, the NAFDAC number of ministry is a candlestick that is erected in heaven. When you begin to gather those people in that place consistently, at first it will be mechanical. Then secondly, subsequently, God will erect a candlestick when the accurate quorum is formed and the hearts of people are aligned and they are subject to the office of the Christ. That means it's the Christ himself that regulates their activities. When that has been confirmed in the council of elders in the heavens, a candlestick is erected in the heavens, symbolic of that particular local expression of the body of Christ. Are you still with me? Now, when the altar, that means your altar has been approved, your altar is effective, your altar has received fire from heaven. As you begin to build that altar, it begins to attract people from different walks of life. But you, I hope you know this one we are doing here is the altar that was in my parlor that evolved. All apostolic work must begin from a prayer cell. There must be a prayer unit. There must be a need for brethren to come together and enforce and seek the Lord in the place of prayer. Every ministry that begins without that convergence of prayer is fake. It's a union. It's a community. There is no spiritual thing that they are trafficking in their midst. It is in those prayers, alright, are you with me? It's in those prayers that the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us individually. It's in those prayers that we become sensitive to God and that we begin to understand the work of holiness by the cross. A Christian that is not prayerful cannot live a holy life. Don't forget that religion you are saying there. They are all fake. I was like that too. Hallelujah. Forget the religion. A Christian that is not consistent in prayer cannot live consistent with the Spirit of God. You will not have the capacity. Grace will not be available for you to keep up. So when the altar starts growing, it becomes attractive. And you don't need to invite people. You can invite if you want. But without inviting, most times, people, the real people come without invitation. How they come there, they don't even know. They say something, that's how. It means that the altar is beginning to gain coverage and reach. Coverage and reach. You know what? That's not the end of the story. When the altar begins to gain coverage and reach, and it begins to gain authority and governance, the devil will send people to you too. You say, that's what will happen. It's not only good people that will come. Messengers too will show up. Whereas, when we go to the field of evangelism, we know we are outside there. We are there to fight anything that will stop men from seeing the light of Christ. That's easy. The battle line is easy. It's drawn. It's easy. Okay? But when you are fanning an altar, you are not expecting an enemy. You are not expecting anything contrary. And then suddenly, in the midst of that, the devil will now send maybe one or two people to come and pretend as if they are praying to you. Oh my. And if you are not sharp in the spirit, the presence of those two people can bring an end to the possibilities that are bound with that which is rising. And so, with every move of God is a move of Satan. Okay, come with me. Let's see the hands of the bull again. You are running a prayer group or something, in addition to our own pastors that are running prayer cells. Let's see it again. Please. All right. What you are functioning is there's an apostolic spirit that is driving you. That's the model. Whether or not you are an apostle by calling is immaterial. That's the model we were given. If we want to plant a church and we send you somewhere, first of all, go and raise an altar. Don't be in a hurry. Raise an altar and begin to pray with a few people. Pray and be consistent. We prayed for more than 1 year before we started doing public meetings. For more than 1 year. I don't even know how many days we fasted. And night vigils without number. So much so that for me now, prayer is a lifestyle. Because if you are going to serve God, service of the Lord will change you eventually. Even if you are not planning to go very far, just start. A time will come, you will not be the one to decide the extent to which you will go. The system will run you. The system will operate you. And it will be very easy for God to change something in your life if he wants to. Even things that are difficult, emotional things, he will touch it. Why? Because you are the one that came. Just keep coming. He will fix you up. Just keep coming. He will make you what he wants you to be. But it's when you stop coming that there will be a problem. But if you keep coming to that altar, you'll be changed from one level of glory to another. I did not know that was the recipe for the Christian life. I thought Christianity was a lecture. The heaviest molecule in the Christian faith is prayer. Hallelujah. So as you set up that altar, the altar begins to grow and gain capacity and gain momentum. A time will come when the devil becomes interested. Just like God became interested and then he erected the candle and gave you guys approval. Not that number. And so his presence will begin to visit that enclave. Suddenly the devil is going to send some troops, some guys. Because he wants to manipulate the group away from God. And first they will come and they will be very zealous. Meanwhile, as an apostolic person that is in charge of such a prayer unit, you don't have enemies with men. Your enemies are in the spirit. And so if you find an agent, because in Kano, the people that they sent to tackle me became choir members. Because after we had head-on coalition, the demons were expelled and then the people were drafted. Hallelujah. Yes, the people were drafted. And so far, if my counting is correct, there are 5 people that Satan has sent to me. They were all cleaned up. And they are not working for Satan now. Hallelujah. So there's no problem. If somebody is sent, there's no problem. Hallelujah. Now, so let's see what happened here. Because what happened here in the book of Acts chapter 16, as we get to see, is a prayer meeting. And it came to pass when we went to what? Oh my. We went to a certain damsel possessed of a spirit of divination met us. Now I'd like us to look at these things critically. What spirit was she possessed with? What is the spirit of divination? Help us. What is the spirit of divination? The reason why we need to stop here and really define what the spirit of divination is because in this age, this era, in the church, in the history of the church, the onslaught of the kingdom of darkness against the body of Christ is going to be by the spirit of divination. Just in case you don't know, that man you call T.B. Joshua is operating by the spirit of divination. And there are a lot of pastors that are operating by the spirit of divination. You call them pastors, but you see, they are actually operating by the spirit of divination. If you keep watching that man, you are submitting yourself to that spirit of divination. Your end will not be good. Now, so we need to define it. What is the spirit of divination? Who can help us? Spirit of divination. Spirit of divination. Sister Odo. Edo. Spirit of divination. Spirit of divination. Someone who can... Okay, somebody is coming to the rescue here. Mimi is giving us insight.
Someone who can foretell the future.
And that's just 30% of it. That's just part of it. A fraction of it. Because when we see this lady here with the spirit of divination, she did not foretell the future. In this context, she did not foretell the future. You are looking at me. Okay, sorry. Let's do the reading first. All right. It came to, and you know, this one with the spirit of divination came for prayer. I hope you expect that it is in a prayer meeting that demons should be afraid of. People that are possessed should run away. People that have the spirit of divination, is prayer they send them to. So agents that have the spirit of divination, they can withstand prayer. Even hot one. For days. And if you don't identify that it's a spirit of divination they have, they can blend into the camp. And after a long while, you would have seen the damage that is done. Now, so I want to take some time to teach about the operation of the spirit of divination and how to arrest it. Because every one of us is a potential leader. Someday you'll be running and leading a prayer cell. Someday. Hallelujah. Because if you are not going to become a leader, then I have labored in vain. Because, hallelujah. All of us have been trained to be ministers, to be pastors, to be prophets, to fulfill your measure in Christ Jesus. So that even if you are a civil servant, you have the training of a pastor. And that's when you discover that that place where you work is actually a platform for ministry. Okay? Now, so let's look at the landscape. Very critically. And it came to pass when we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. We are looking at the effect of the name of Jesus on demons. But I hope you see, the demons were subject. The demons obeyed. The demons did not argue. They came out. But wait, this one is a bit different. So who is coming again? Spirit of divination. Spirit of divination. Sister Edo, you must talk. I believe you can help us. Spirit of divination. Don't just talk because they say talk. Huh? Okay, give Sam. Sam is laboring to talk. You don't need to stand up. I'm already standing.
It is free that says what is true, but it's not.
And that's too technical.
Okay.
What is the spirit of divination?
I see as a spirit that says what is true, but not of the Spirit of God. I say, it's not truth. You say what's true, but not truth.
You have gone too far. And it's obvious you are a scientist. Because the way you are talking like a scientist. But what we are talking is not science. What we are talking is, it happens in everyday life. And we want to be able to understand it within the context of everyday life. Now, let's see that word, divination. The word divination comes from the word divine, to consult. A spirit that helps you consult about a realm, consult about a thing. Are you with me? That person with that spirit is what made an Ezemo. She was an Ezemo. She has the capacity to do what? To consult a spirit about a thing. The capacity to consult a spirit, to gain intelligence by a spirit. She's skillful in probing into the faculties of a spirit and drawing wisdom from that spirit. That is what the spirit of divination gives someone the ability to do. You get that? Because you were going into very technical terms, and the more you were speaking, the people were confused. Spirit of divination. Should I go further? Now, this one I want to speak based on experience. Okay. No need. Let me click on divination. Divination in Greek. In Greek is Python. Okay, so let me stop there. There's a village called Agrabi. How many of you know Agrabi? When you are coming to Agrabi, you will see two pythons like this. Every time you see the symbol of a python, it means that locality has the spirit of what? Divination. In Agrabi, I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, you correct me. There is, when they begin to do the thing, they begin to beat drum, begin to dance, then where the altar is, and then suddenly the spirits will possess some ladies and they will begin to prophesy and give insight. That is divination. Through those their rituals, the sacrifices, the dances, the ceremonies, those are the protocols that are required in order to consult, in order to retrieve wisdom from that spirit. Are you still with me? Now, so that's what divination is. And there are many types of divination. In fact, divination is so popular now that there are several books on divination that are written, and are written with a Christian appeal. Meanwhile, those books are actually gateways into the spirit realm. There are dimensions of the negative supernatural that you can access just by reading those books. And because they know that the average Christian is gullible, and the average Christian is thirsty for the supernatural, they have drawn a lot of Christians into divining and divination. And what those kind of operations do is that they set you up and bring you to a point where they give you a spirit guide. That's a bad place to be. I won't need to continue with that. The symptoms of one that has a spirit guide. The person that used to have it here, he has left. I speak in parables. There's a man, one guy that was here, used to come here. He used to come with a spirit guide. The reason why I couldn't help him was because he loved the spirit guide very well. So he was not willing to part with that spirit guide. And there was nothing I could do about it. But if you are deceived and brought to a point where in divination you are attached a spirit guide, it means you too can consult. And divination is not far away. What we call the prophetic. Prophetic is that you are divining with the Spirit of God. Divination is very close to it. And the difference between prophetic and divination Are you still with me? Very small difference. You see, in the prophetic, we cannot decide that we want to see. It must be that the Holy Ghost wants to reveal something. And no matter how much pressure you bring on a true prophet, that this thing, we need solution. A true prophet knows that he doesn't call the shot. There's nothing he can do if God is not revealing. So a true prophet will always resist pressure to manifest. When people want you to manifest, leave them alone. Forget about them. Because in this order, you cannot decide to manifest. You only manifest if the Spirit of God wants to reveal something. And God will reveal what he wants to reveal, when he wants to reveal. We are subject to him. But in divination, there are a few rudimentary enchantments that you can make, that you can actually attract the Spirit and get the Spirit to perform. So the man that operates by divination can control the action. The man that is operating by the Holy Ghost cannot control the action. The man that is operating by the Holy Ghost is used by the Holy Ghost. The man that is operating by divination uses the Spirit. Don't forget that. We have all kinds of divination. One of the most common is palm reading. At those days when we were small, in the 80s, there was an outbreak of this palm reading stuff. Huh? Have you ever gone for somebody to read your palm before? That's an error that you need to repent about. Because if you submit to another wisdom that is not the Holy Spirit, you have actually made the spirit you went to consult your God. And until you consciously denounce that spirit and repent, and God forgives you, and you denounce that spirit consciously, that spirit will be a stakeholder in your life. Hallelujah. I have to tell you the truth. Yes, I've seen people in different conditions. I'm 32 years as a Christian. 32 years as a Christian. I'm 23 years as a preacher. I think that's long. So I've seen a lot of things. Okay? Now listen. If you have done that before, you get somebody your palm for them to read your future, you have to repent, because the spirit you consulted is a stakeholder in your life. It can determine some things in your life. There are several people God ordains you to be great and all of that. When you want to rise into that thing, that spirit will object. So when you see yourself going up and down, and it is consistent, a spirit is responsible. You gave something authority to regulate, to determine, to decide that you will not go in a certain way. Most of you like watching TB Joshua thing. It's a man of God. It's a man of God. He will call prayer. You will pray. It's a spirit of divination. You notice that when that lady began to do that stuff, Paul did not know the first day. That means she passed the test of a prophet. She passed the test of a prophet the first day. Nobody knew by what spirit she was doing what she was doing. So it is easy for someone that is operating by the spirit of divination to lock into. And you know, somebody that is prophetic in nature, such a person can have so much influence among believers. Because the average believer wants to pray with somebody that can easily leap into the gift of prophecy and begin to prophesy. For me, I was not a gifted man when I started. I was just a simple Bible teacher. Without vision, without prophecy. And I did my Bible teaching, my Sunday school teaching for 12 years. Without prophesying, without seeing a vision. Yes, for 12 years. I sat in the office of a teacher for 12 years. It was after 12 years that God, I don't know, showed mercy. And if you start prophesying too quickly, you won't last. Because most people, when they begin to prophesy like that, they are no longer humble to be trained. They think that the manifestation of that gift is tantamount to maturity in the spirit. If God likes you, he will delay those gifts from coming. So that some things will be entrenched. You will know what the flesh is. You will know what self is. And you will denounce it. So that when anointing begins to rest, it will be so pure. So pure. Your dispensing of the anointing, it will be with the purity of maturity in Christ Jesus. It will be clear. It will be with the purity of the dispensing of the word of God in a balanced fashion. Your life will be a testimony of a man that has followed God accurately. And when those things come upon you, you will be authentic. Number three. Or two. Someone using the spirit of divination is always money-centered. And someone using the spirit of God, a prophet, is always Christ-centered. A prophet is a kingdom functionary that brings the mind of God to the people of God. A mind of God to the generation. The loyalty of the prophet is to God. A prophet can prophesy and suffer because of what he utters. But he will not change his mind because his loyalty is first to God. But someone using the spirit of divination, it is because of gain. So the Bible says that this lady that was walking with the spirit of divination, she brought her master's great gain. I hope your eyes are opening. How many of you were part of that crusade that when you went, they said you come and buy handkerchief for 5,000? Were you there? Don't deny us. Just we won't rebuke you that it's not a crime to go for a meeting. You saw your own was. Oh, okay. Amen. How many of you attended that crusade? I think it was in IBB Square. Okay, stadium. Apiaku Stadium. And you were called to buy handkerchiefs and bottles of oil. How many of you saw on Facebook recently that they sell blood of Jesus? They manufacture it. Did you see it? Blood of Jesus. It's manufactured. It's branded. Blood of Jesus. For sale. Now, it's 2K now. Maybe the inflation might have increased the price. Blood of Jesus for sale. If you are still here, say amen. If you are a true prophet, because you are a true prophet and God gives you these revelational gifts, the Holy Spirit will be so sensitive to what you say. When you say something and you say wrong, you might lose your peace for 2 weeks. And to get back on track will be difficult. So you have to fast and repent and roll on the ground and roll and beg and beg. So if you don't want to be begging like that consistently, you will just look for a way to only say what he wants you to say. The requirement of a prophetic person in the body of Christ is so much. It's better to be an evangelist. You can be an evangelist with anger and you may even overlook. But if you are a prophet, he will not allow you to go with guile, deceit, deception. He will judge it in your life. Meanwhile, the soothsayer, the person that operates with the spirit of divination, you will notice that he can lie easily. He can do fake things. And he will tell you, when you see the purity of a man that is afraid of God, the fear of God is there, you will know. A true prophet operates and functions in the fear of God. But this species of people, hallelujah, amen, that operate the spirit of divination, when you come close to them, that is when they are not prophesying, they have a lying spirit. So the whole thing is captured in deception. So that's why they don't allow people to come close to them at close range. Because you will know that they are fake. So the protocol is elaborate. You can't break the protocol. You can't beat the protocol. There's one guy like that they say prophesies in jaws. He didn't know that the day we went there to close the place down. But he didn't know. Me and Gideon. I know Gideon is very stubborn. He just drove. The security there. If it's the house of God, what are you hiding?
They lap. He said, no, this is where they park. People should not match here. Oh. They don't match here. Everything they say people will not do, that was the one who will break the law. I said, we should not match here. They don't match here. Okay. Guess what? The place has closed down. 6 months after we did that thing, the light, they still did that. They couldn't find it. They woke up on the animal. But the man was making, you know, me, I'm boarding that this middle bed. Anything can happen anywhere, but middle bed. I will travel there. I will travel there and we'll do. No. My authority is within this landscape. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Only to park car. You will know that. There is something. So when you see the elaborate protocol, too many rules and regulations, this is how you put hand on your head and be like, come for the last day of the meeting, come with knife and 1,000 naira. Then you know that. Something else is at work. May the Lord give you understanding in the name of Jesus. Now, so this lady came for the prayer meeting. And for the first day, Paul did not know. How many of you were part of prayer meetings on campus that failed, that fell, that disintegrated? How many of you? The revival that was born in, he died. Were you able to identify the person that was the cause of it? You did not identify. Meanwhile, there are prayer people. You guys, Zari Abi, ABU. Uh-huh. They were praying. Bo, 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 bo. When the agent came and did the work that disintegrated what they were doing, they didn't know. So these are the arsenals from the kingdom of darkness that are not afraid of prayer meetings. They are not afraid of tongues. They are not afraid of power. Jerry, I hope you are listening to me. Because that your place. Jerry is very powerful. He's a prophet. I didn't know you were the one leading prayer that day. He opened the entire environment with prayer. Oh my. The prayer was coming like machine gun. Oh, Jesus. Open the entire place. That means your church, the churches you planted, I think there are about 3 of them now. Yeah. They are prayerful churches. You know what you will pray for today? Is that God should give you the gift of discernment of spirit. The gift of what? When we started this ministry, we started in Abuja. And there was a lady there that used to prophesy. And she prophesied for 1 year. And when she prophesied, she will mention things that you know are true. The next year, God had mercy and we grew a little bit more spiritual. When she prophesied that next year, I knew it was not God that was talking. So I told her that, don't prophesy again. Stop. Stop prophesying. But you know what? 8 years later, I knew that I was right. Hallelujah. The spirit of divination at work in the body of Christ. And people are in churches where the pastors operate with the spirit of divination. Should I go on? If you are operating with the spirit of God, there are demands that God will give you that are spiritual. But if you are operating with the spirit of divination, the spirit of divination, even though it has demands, but its demands are not on the flesh. The spirit of divination has demands that it will lay on you, but those demands are not where? On the flesh. So, a man that operates with the spirit of divination can sleep with a woman now. The spirit, the demand is not on the flesh. There are other demands, all kinds of demands, but the flesh is not within the scope wherein the demands are captured. So the person can sleep with a woman and still come and operate in the spirit because the demands to fuel that unction is not where on. So operating with the spirit of divination goes side by side with immorality. So when you discover that there is immorality, is a consistent practice in a particular place, you don't need a dictionary to tell you that what is happening there is happening by the spirit of what? Divination. If me and my wife disagree, I can't even preach. Because the portal is closed. Everything is what? That's disagreement. Oh, before I go to preach, like today. There's a way I prepare. Because if we disagree now, but you see, the guy that is operating with the spirit of divination can, in fact, he needs a woman. You give him a woman and he comes on the pulpit. Hey, yeah. Kabola. The thing is hot. Divination. Meanwhile, somebody can be start well in ministry and end up in divination. And most times we use their rating when they were accurate to still think that. But the transition took place a long time ago. When you find the person still capable of doing supernatural things, when the person is in deliberate immorality, divination is at work. Did you get it to that point? Hallelujah. And for the spirit of divination, in order to identify, because what we are talking about here, I'm not building you up for suspicion. Suspicion is not the way. Don't suspect anybody. Because the carnal way to go about this is to suspect. No. I'm a lover of people. My heart is very, very open. Hallelujah. I can forgive easily, and I don't keep record of faults. If it is true that you repent and you change, let's go. That's me. So I'm not going out suspecting anybody. I don't do that. So the day, the thing, the unction comes and I see something, that one is different. That one is not me. The Holy Ghost that. So suspicion should not be among the brethren. That's not the way of the brethren. The way of the brotherhood abhors suspicion. But there is a gift called the gift of discernment of spirit. And in the gift of discernment of spirit, just like a gift can have many channels, a gift of the spirit, that the gift of word of knowledge can have many channels. Now, you can receive word of knowledge in your dream. You can receive word of knowledge through a vision. You can receive word of knowledge through an inner voice. You can receive word of knowledge through an inner knowing. All of these are channels, but the gift is the same. Are you with me? Oh my. I say, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All of those things are channels, but the gift is the same. Now, very soon, I will launch the School of Prophets here. Then I'll be able to teach you the gifts of the Spirit and demonstrate it so that you will know it. If you can identify it, for most of you, you'll find out that you actually have been operating in one gift consistently, but you did not know that that was the gift. And that's why you need to come to the School of Prophets so that you can be educated. And you cannot have confidence in that operation of God that is on your life. Are you with me? Now, so a gift can have different channels. Just like you are going to see in the case of Paul. The gift he operated is a gift of discernment of spirit. So I need to define it. The gift of discernment of spirit, if you are right. But I'll do it better when we come for the School of Prophets. I have those things in my notes. I will give you as it is written in my notes. But let me see what I can give you now. The gift of discernment of spirit, the supernatural ability given by God. The gift of discernment of spirit is a supernatural ability given by God, by which we can discern what influence people are operating under. By which we can discern what influence people are operating under. Through the operation of the gift of discernment of spirit, we can differentiate between true and truth. Through the operation of the discernment of spirit, we can differentiate between true and truth. That's number one. Number two, true and false. That's number two. Number three, divine and demonic. Did you get it? Are you getting it? Divine and what? Demonic. So those are levels of discernment. You can discern between true and truth. You can discern between true and false. You can discern between what? Divine and demonic. And the reason for that gift is because whenever there's a move of God, there's always a move of Satan. And so you should be able to decipher what exactly is the move of God from the move of Satan. We cannot stop Satan from moving if God is moving. But we should be able to know and shut Satan down. That's why that gift is critical. And that's why I say you should pray for that gift. Because since your church is a praying church, it's a charismatic church, very soon the devil will start doing something there. And if you don't have the ability to discern what is the work of the devil, very soon you will call the work of the devil the work of God. And if it has your approval that this one is a prophet, you have empowered someone that operates by divination. It doesn't matter how massive the ministry is, it's going to come down. Because that person will take advantage of that accreditation that you gave. And the person will now be going and prophesying to people. And you know, believers like prophets. And before you know it, a blunder has been committed. In fact, even if you now know that the person was an agent, if you want to discipline the person, because of the influence the person has gained, you can do it with caution. May the Lord give you understanding. Hallelujah. May the Lord give you understanding. Alright, so let us see the manifestation of the gift of discernment of spirit in the life of Paul. Because the difference between this one and the crusade setting is that in this one you need to discern the spirit. Not suspect, but what? Alright. 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Please take note of the utterance of the lady. Can you read the utterance of the lady? 1, 2, 3, go. They show us the way of salvation. Now, if you... the definition of prophecy. Let me bring the definition. This definition of simple, the simple gift of prophecy. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 quickly. We'll still come back here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, we see the definition of the simple gift of prophecy. We see the scope of the simple gift of prophecy. So when we do introduction to prophecy, we are going to have to open this scripture. Prophecy, in prophecy, we are proclaiming by the utterance of the Holy Spirit unto men. Alright? Unto what? Edification. Unto what? Exhortation. And unto what? Alright, let's start again. Unto what? And what? Okay. Anna. What is exhortation? You don't need to stand up. Don't worry. Exhortation. Edification means building up.
To exalt yourself.
Now, in edification, maybe you hear God say, "I will visit you on the seventh day," and you come to church, and I now stand on the pulpit, and I say, "I'm hearing God tell somebody He will visit you on the seventh day." Because of the confirmation, you are now sure that thing you heard was from God. You were built up. Right? And so what is exhortation? To exhort. Exhortation builds confidence. Builds what? Confidence. There are sometimes you want to go, maybe you feel like relocating, feel like doing all of that, but you don't have the confidence to do it. You don't know if it's... And then maybe while you were praying and all of that, then God now gives you a scripture. And then when you now read that scripture, the scripture actually supports your relocation. So your confidence is in that scripture. That was exhortation. And then what's the last one? Comfort. You can find some people in sorrow, under intense pressure, and God wants to bring, wants to salvage that situation. Then there are utterances directly from the Holy Spirit that brings comfort. Now, this is the nature of prophecy. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, so let us analyze what that lady said under the spirit of divination. I still follow in the school.
Yes.
Now, the lady said, these are the servants of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation. Which category of prophecy is this one? Exhortation. That's an exhortation. So that the people will have confidence in the ministry of Paul. Oh my. Do you get it? So that was an exhortation. So if we analyze it by prophecy, that thing was accurate. It passes for prophecy. That's the reason why you may not be able to listen to T.B. Joshua and find out what is wrong. Because he's talking like how a preacher should talk. Oh my. But you see, are you still with me?
Yes.
He's talking like how a preacher should talk. He talks the way we talk. That, no, all those kind of talk. And when you quantify his talk and you bring it into exhortation, he passes the test of exhortation. But you see, discernment goes beyond true. Discernment does what? It goes beyond true. There is a difference between true and truth. And discernment is what will reveal that difference. There's a difference between true and false. There's a difference between true and truth. There's a difference between divine and demonic. There's a difference between factuality and a lie. The gift of discernment of spirits will decipher it. No matter how closely linked they may see it to be, discernment can divide the flames of fire. Now, so what the woman uttered there is actually prophecy. From the standpoint of doctrine, that means doctrinally, we cannot claim that she's wrong, doctrinally. But there are some things that are doctrinally correct, but spiritually wrong. And the devil knows that. So he has raised some people, and he has given them some kind of training in the church, so that they will be doctrinally correct. And then they come and talk and be talking, talk. Because if they say the kind of things that the Pope is saying now, you will know it's of the devil. It's of darkness. Pope say we should go and apologize to gay people for maltreating them. And if somebody says that one outrightly, you will know it's of darkness. But you see, the devil doesn't want you to know quickly. So he raises people that can say church things, say church language, say praise the Lord, praise, hallelujah. Say, oh my. And then just blame like that. Bless you. When you see these people doing Nollywood, they can mimic pastors, they can mimic church, they can do church very well and all of that. So you need somebody that knows our language, can blend with us, and can talk like us. Such that through the person's talking, you may not be able to decipher that this person is on errand from the devil. And so there, at that point, we need discernment. Now. Let me do something quickly in 3 minutes, after which I will now show you the channel of the manifestation of the gift of discernment of spirit in the life of Paul. Then I will tell you my own personal experience, the channels of that gift, the channels. Probably will now pray and ask God to give that gift. That is, if he will agree. He will agree. I know him. I know him well. He likes this kind of thing. Likes it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so let's do the Bible study. Alright. Are you still with me? Yeah, just two scriptures. Stay with me, okay? Two scriptures. The first scripture is The book of 1 John chapter 4. That's the first scripture. 1 John chapter 4, please turn your Bible. 1 John, oh my, not chapter 4, but chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Are you there in 1 John chapter 5? The identity of a personality is sought in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. It says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Still speaking about Jesus in verse 6, he said, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and by blood. For it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Underline truth. The Bible did not call him Spirit of Truth. The Bible calls him the Spirit that is truth. And I'm saying that there is a difference between truth and true. We can go beyond the letters to probe the Spirit that gave those letters. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Now the Spirit is truth. Now, God is saying something here in the book of 1 John, speaking about Jesus. He said Jesus came by water, and Jesus came by blood. And it's the Spirit that beareth witness. Are you with me? He came by water. The water that is spoken about here is the baptism of John the Baptist. If you read your Bible critically, in the book of John chapter 1, you will find out that the means by which, the standard means by which the world will know who is he that is the Lamb of God, was a strategy that was given to John the Baptist in the wilderness. The strategy that was given to him was the ordinance of baptism. And the reason why John was baptizing was because that was the only means by which he could identify him that would baptize with fire. Because he received an ordination in the wilderness. Because he quoted it in the book of John chapter 1. And said, him that commanded me to baptize said that anyone upon whom the Spirit shall descend and remain. That means he received that instruction from the wilderness. That was why he came to baptize. As a means of identifying him that would baptize with fire. So it was a testimony of water. The testimony of water was used to identify Jesus. Because when he came for baptism, the heavens were rent. The Bible says that Jesus was praying while he was submerged. And he came out of the water praying. And his coming out of the water affected heaven. And heaven opened. And the Spirit of God descended upon him and remained. That was the sign that John was given in the wilderness. That was a place where Jesus' identity was revealed by what? By water. The Bible says he came by water. And that was not all. He also came by blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't have time. I would have taken you to the Old Testament to show you. There were several laws that God gave Israel. One of the laws is that when you get into the land of promise, you should not shed blood. And he told us in scripture the implication of shedding innocent blood. Because God will require the blood of the innocent out of him that shed it. Are you with me? I say, are you here?
Yes.
If we take an example from the case of Abel, when Abel was slaughtered, the Bible says that the ground that received his blood began to cry for vengeance and began to petition the court of heaven that the one that committed this, what was crying? Where was he crying from? So the ground was the PA system that was channeling the cry and petitioning the third heavens, that justice must be done on the account of this innocent blood that has been shed. It was on the strength of the witness of blood that Cain was judged by the court of heaven. And meanwhile, that was the blood of an innocent man. Jesus had a different kind of blood. He was the blood of a righteous man. The earth has never drank of that kind of blood before. And when the blood of Jesus Christ fell and touched the ground, the Bible said there was earthquake. Now, that was the same ground that was the PA system that raised the cry of Abel's blood and petitioned the courtroom of heaven. When the blood of Jesus came upon that ground, the ground could not, there was no permutation for that to understand what touched it. It resulted in what? Earthquake. Even the centurion that was there to guard the cross say, this indeed, an unbeliever. When he saw what happened, when his blood touched the ground, he acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God. He came also by what? By blood. And just in case you were not there, when he went for baptism, just in case you were not there, when he went to the cross, there is still one witness left. The Bible says it is the Spirit that beareth witness. Then he now told us why the Spirit bears witness. If you read further in the book of 1 John chapter 5, where I say you should read, if you read to verse 8, you will see that the Spirit of God actually has an office. It is in this place we see one of the offices of the Spirit of God. And I don't want to trouble you with too much scripture. My intention is to show you truth. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
If you read and get to verse 7 and verse 8, you will see that the Bible says there are three that bear witness in heaven. Just like there are three that bear witness on earth. The three that bear witness on earth is the testimony of water, the testimony of the ground when blood came upon it, and the testimony of the Spirit. There are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. You will notice that in heaven, the Spirit is a witness. On earth, the Spirit is a witness. He's the only one that is a witness on earth and what? In heaven. The Father is a witness in heaven. He is not a witness on earth. Only the Spirit of God doubles as a witness in the heavens and where? On earth. It is because he has an office of truth. And in that office of truth, he's saddled with the responsibility of bearing witness about things, about truth. So, the art of bearing witness, which is as a result of the Spirit of witness, that art of bearing witness is the ministry of truth. Now, calm down. How do you know that you are born again? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's the office of witness. Bearing witness is the ministry of truth. Get that? So that's how we know we are born again. If you like preach and say, hell, hell. I mean, I know I'm born again. Say, hey, dragon, dragon. You can't intimidate some of us. Because I know the God that I'm serving. You can preach to new Christians, new converts, and intimidate them about hell and all. The reason why I'm living holy is because I love Jesus. Forget about that, your crap. You can teach that in Sunday school. But when people begin to grow, withdraw it and tell them the truth. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, so the Holy Spirit bears witness in the heavens. He also bears witness on earth because he occupies the office of witness. And the office of witness is the ministry of truth. So he bears witness in your heart that you are a child of God. And so what the Holy Spirit did to Paul is that he bore witness in his heart that this thing this girl is saying is not from me. That is the ministry of truth. So that's why I say there's a difference between true and truth. It is only through the gift of discernment of spirit and the witness of the Holy Ghost that we can decipher between true and truth. And if that operation is not in your life, it will be difficult for you to differentiate between a prophet and someone that is operating with the spirit of divination. The devil has released messengers with the spirit of divination in large numbers into the body of Christ. And the worst hit is the church in the Western world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't have time to take you around the clock. But you see, I keep tabs with our brethren across the river. I keep tabs with them. The church in the United Kingdom. The church in the United States of America. The church in South Africa. So that if I arrive there, I will know what kind of message to preach, given their system. It's not that I'll be totally oblivious of the terrain. You understand what I'm talking about? And so I follow Christianity in U.S., Christianity in Africa. I have an estimation of the kind of stuff. Africa. Okay, let's leave that till another time. Hallelujah. So, you see, right now, there are massively, witches have been released massively into the body of Christ. Massively. In fact, there are some Bible schools, Pentecostal Bible schools, where they teach what is called the use of the Ouija board. The Ouija board is an elementary teaching of necromancy. Elementary teaching of necromancy. The guy was born again before. He went to theological school and became a psychic. Because of the things that are taught. Psychology that is added to the teaching of counseling. And then it drifts into demonism. And people don't know how to differentiate and to decipher. And the church in the West is worse hit by the spirit of divination. And that's why every believer, in fact, we are the church in Africa is God's answer right now. And that's why we cannot lower the standard. We must be optimum. We must be accurate. We must be up to the task. Hallelujah. Now we are going to pray. The Bible says Paul, suddenly he was grieved because the Spirit of God bore witness with his spirit. He said, this thing is good to your ear, but it was not sweet to his heart. The Spirit of God was manifesting his disapproval, that utterance was not from me. It is true, but it was not me, the truth, that spoke it. You know, in the book of John, truth is not a statement of fact. Truth is a personality. It was Jesus that said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Truth is a personality. That personality is actually the personality of Jesus that is manifested and revealed through the Holy Spirit as it bears witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. You can trick the brethren, but you cannot trick the Holy Ghost. And if we are in alignment with the Holy Ghost, that which is a lie, the Holy Spirit will make it bear, because he is that spirit that beareth witness. Just in case there's confusion, the Bible says it is the spirit that beareth witness, because the spirit is truth. He turned and looked at the lady and he rebuked the spirit in the name of Jesus. You know, it took some time, it took about 3 days before he was able to fully articulate the situation. And he rebuked the lady in the name of Jesus. And the spirit left the same hour. She spoke like a prophet. Her utterances were prophetic. Her utterances were true. Bible scholars cannot confront her and find her to be false. So that was not a day of a Bible teacher. That was not a day of a teacher. It was a day of what? Of a prophet. Teachers have tried in the body of Christ. But if we are going to survive now, we need something more than teaching. We need prophets. People that can go beyond the letter and probe the spirit that is responsible for the utterance. That's where we are. Because we have all kinds of things that have invaded the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Right now and right here, you are going to ask God to give you the gift of discernment of spirit. And we'll do that for 5 minutes. We'll do that prayer for 5 minutes. Just for 5 minutes. Then you will begin to see things. If this gift begins to operate, some of you will not be able to go to the market. I assure you. When that gift operates and you come to the market, you want to buy something. Then you now ask God, is it that everybody here is not okay? That's when you know it's a burden to buy in the market. Don't worry. This gift, oh my. Sometimes you won't want to go to the bank when you just enter into the bank. But people can't see what you are seeing. Some people in the market, the person is walking with the head. Okay, if this thing I'm telling you is strange, and maybe you'll be afraid, don't pray. Some of you have eaten things that is responsible for your stomach. Your stomach has been running for 5 years. You went without discernment and bought something from somebody you should not buy from. Can you pray today and say, Lord, give unto us? You see, give us. If the great apostle Paul could not identify this lady. You see, when he mentioned the name of Jesus, the outcome of that name was not in doubt. But in order to identify the oppression, something deep had to happen. Something strong had to happen. The church can no longer be naked. We can no longer be prone to infiltration. So we want to ask the Lord, grant unto us the gift of discernment of spirit, that we will be able to discern and decipher to know the truth and to differentiate it from a lie, to know the divine and to differentiate it from the demonic. I'd like you to labor in prayer right now. Labor right now. That's when you will know. If somebody comes to propose to you, you will know that this one is a liar. This one is a false person. I cannot give my life to this person. This person will only transform my life into something that God did not intend. You need the gift of discernment of spirit. That's how we make friends. That's how you can discern what exactly is coming out of this person. Is it God? Is it God? Is it God that is breaking out? Or is it a spirit of deception? It is a spirit that beareth witness, because the spirit is true. Ask him today. Ask him today. Ask him today. Ask him today. Apona hasanambo kose mandiata. Kababaneto sakuna kabarata. Marasanda brakasaila braskata lababonde. Maroskate pere dense kambonda lata. Braika basanta babonjana tepoda kalebekerete. Mereskanto bina katapaika basaila. Ekonzanata bara nakapata masakila bokoria. Eskole kale mosalabonda. Ekabezo donde jakatala baborikasali. Ela iketala barakoskanda. Yes, to differentiate between that which is true and that which is false. There's so much of falsehood going around. But you cannot know a man by the appearance of his face. The spirit must bear witness. The spirit must bear witness. He must bring perspective. He must uncover that which eyes cannot see. He must take you beyond face value and take you into the intrinsic nature of the thing that you are trying to examine. Oh, spirit of truth, the one that beareth witness, the one that beareth witness in heaven and he beareth witness on earth. We pray tonight, oh God. We pray tonight, oh God, that you deposit upon us discernment of spirit. Merosando cosa la cara da basica, zika pranta babara katale. En so mene canto sabres gabadates compreta. Ita palato samakatalia. E combalis gabadandes sobregete. Ita pasa na barandes capala. E sombrege santa babori batadia. E cabre escado borosalabata. Mayanton sana cambrasata barata mendo. E tabaya tokes catebregede, la caponda cada basaya, e lebraskendo samena canta babori malahate, e cabasata branta babalaca de baboria, e sobregede, matayatos cante barica baratali, racate tocana manate case, lebreskenda bata baboria, e cabeto capena, e cabasanda babote manda, e cabasaila maracatevo. Discernment. Oh, Zena na 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 ma fa bene kuseli. I love my mozane. Sometimes, some people's homes disintegrate because they go to the village and they fetch a young lady to come help at home. And that lady is loaded with all kinds of things, formed in darkness. And there's no eye to see it, no discernment to perceive it. The church needs an eye from God, discernment that comes by the Holy Ghost, so that your hands will not bring into your home that which will destroy you. Lord, we ask tonight for the gift of discernment of spirit. Oh,
Akamo sana maneto mina mana mana. Jesus.
I went somewhere and brought a house help. The house help was loaded, heavily loaded. Those were the days where I fasted on the mountains of Kano, where I did 260 something days of fasting. I was as lean as an HIV patient. And one day I decided to come visit my sister. The lady saw me at the door and packed the next day. Hey, la come se in a cambo. Say no. My sister said, did you wrong? Did we do anything wrong? Is there any problem? No, but I'm going. Those days, that was when the prophetic opened. I was a simple teacher before I went to Kano. It was in Kano that the prophetic opened. You know the pact. And she didn't know I came for a short stay. Not long. But before I went back, she had gone. There are people that need to go. There are some offices, when you come, they know you are the one here. You see, if the devil had tried to destroy this ministry, you know why? Because we are prayerful. But in fact, he will not succeed. You know, on the 9th anniversary, when we held that last meeting, there was a promise. The devil is too late. And listen to me, there's somebody here. From what I saw a woman. And this woman has been attempting to hurt you for a long time. In fact, I was able to deduce from the scope of the vision that you have seen this woman once and again in dreams that have been made clear to you. This a woman that wants to hurt you, that wants to harm you. Because in my vision, I saw this woman. She had a knife edge, very sharp knife, and she was trying to use it on somebody that is in this congregation. And this woman, you have seen this woman, and you have not seen this woman just once. You have seen this woman more than once in your dream, trying to hurt you. Who is that person? A woman. Now, I need to educate you. Okay. Those of you involved, come. Some of you have, they have been looking for you all this while. A woman. I want to beg you for 15 minutes. 15 minutes I'll be true. I just want to do three things. This is the first one I did, the second one. Then the third one is to ask God to release the gift of discernment of spirits. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, how many of you standing here know the woman physically? You know the person physically. That's the gift of discernment of spirit. Now, how to use that to show you that you are already operating in it, but you did not take it seriously. How many of you did something about what you saw? Did you pray about it? Did you? You did something about it. How many of you want us to cut that woman off? How many of you? A prophet was praying. He knelt down on his knees. Then he saw a witch. And that witch is the usher in the church. Then he said, "No, I kill you." You would have known. He would have used another word. I kill you. The woman just died that night. It's only what you see you can kill. That's why I asked you, what would you do if it's to make the person crippled? I have seen the person already, so I can judge the person. You don't judge what you don't see. Pani said we should say that. I am a red Salima. I am a Rakuna Maladim. That's the gift of the servant. Sometimes it comes in the form of a vision, a dream. You see the person behind the person. You see the real person. It takes you beyond face value. It takes you beyond logos. It takes you into the witness of the Holy Spirit about the matter. Where secrets cannot be kept. Where maxes cannot be worn. The gift of discernment of spirit. We have continued thus far because he helped us once and again by opening our eyes to see reality. We became wise instantly. One of you has already been wounded by this person. One of you has been wounded. So we need to cry out for the recovery of that one that has been wounded among you. Now God will help me. Father, help me. Show me the one that is already wounded. Show me. Show me the one that is already wounded. Show me the one that is already wounded. Show me the one that is already wounded here. Yeah. Show me the one that is wounded. Show me the one that is wounded. Let your power begin to descend upon the one that is wounded. Upon the one that is wounded. So that we can demand for healing. Show me the ones that are wounded. 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 That are wounded already. That are wounded already. Show me the ones that are wounded already. That dagger that was used to strike you in expectation of a response of death, I removed that dagger from you. And I struck the woman that struck you. 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 Yes. Some of you will be healed of physical diseases, physical ailments. Because the dagger is removed. Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Oh,
Release this lady. Release her. Release her from that which ties her. I release you with the name of Jesus.
I bring judgment upon him that seeks your life. I bring judgment. 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 Judgment in the name of Jesus. Judgment. That intention is rendered null and void. That intention is rendered null and void. 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 In the name of Jesus. It's done. You can go and sit down.
Elana monesa ye. Kanaburaso na kula menea. Era moma sedisa na banco zenalika.
All right, the second thing I saw before we leave, some other things are opening, but I told you we'll do only three things, so I will not go beyond that, okay? The second thing I saw is that there's somebody here that is struggling, the person is a lady or a woman, struggling in her prayer life, and she desires mastery. She desires grace in a place of prayer. Okay, you are involved. All right. Now God is going to release the anointing anywhere you are. For those involved, you can just pray now. It's a lady I'm talking about. You have so much capacity. And the devil is attacking your prayer life so that he will slow down your life and delay your life. But you can rebel against the spirit of delay by asking God to anoint you now to carry out intercessory responsibilities that God has ordained. Please ask him right now. Ask him right now. Ask him right now. Ask him right now. Okay, he has accepted. He has accepted. You can stop praying. You can stop praying. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask tonight that you anoint that intercessor you showed me, the female intercessor. Anoint, anoint. Okay, the anointing is being released now. It's being released. Anoint, anoint. Anoint, anoint, anoint. Anoint, 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 Lord. 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 Anoint, 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 anoint. Anoint, 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 anoint in the name of Jesus. 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 Raise warriors in the spirit. Raise warriors in the spirit. Raise warriors in the spirit. Raise warriors, 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 warriors that will go over and above the challenges that the devil is releasing. Anoint, Lord. Anoint. 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 Anoint in the name of Jesus. 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 Anoint, Father. Let the spirits of men open. 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 Open, 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 open. In the name of Jesus. Rise up above the challenges. Rise up above the situation. Rise up from the spirit. Alright, so we can now ask God for the gift of discernment of spirit. You can ask him anywhere you are. The gift of discernment of spirit. Gift of discernment of spirit. You can ask him. You can ask him. I see you as a mighty warrior. Are you aware? A mighty warrior in the spirit. Yours is the blood of courage and the spirit of intercession.
through your prayers, many evil things will be averted. Dangers will be expelled. Devil will be turned backward. Many will be set at liberty. Receive the grace of a warrior. Grace of a warrior. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we are asking tonight for the gift of discernment of spirit. Oh my God. The Lord is saying that He will only give one person. Only one person. Father, we ask. Father, we ask. Okay. Now, there are two. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. 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 Well, I'm seeing only two. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. In Jesus' name. We are asking as a congregation that you choose from among us and bestow the gift of word of discernment of spirit. We are entering into the season of revival, and we need many equipped soldiers that will stand in defense of that which you are going to build in this territory. And so, Lord, we ask that you release, that you release, that you release the gift of discernment of spirit. That you release the gift of discernment of spirit. Let there be an impartation. Okay, it is coming now. It's 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 coming now. Yes. Let there be an impartation. 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 Aha. Where is Ruth? Sister Ruth. Ayekama. You are one of the people chosen. Father, let there be an impartation. An impartation. An impartation. An impartation. An impartation of the gift of discernment of spirit. Let it burn like fire. 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 An impartation. 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 Discernment. Discernment of spirit. We need this equipment. We need this equipment, Lord, to do your work in this time and to put the gates of hell shut. An impartation. An impartation. An impartation. Ask him, because you are one of the people chosen. Ask him. Ask him now. An impartation. You will see beyond face value, beyond what people are saying, beyond what the human eyes can see, an understanding born deep in your heart, beyond your mental faculty, begins to furnish, through which an understanding comes that is from God. Then you can become truly wise. Because you function by the testimony and the very witness of the Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, O God, that you pour out of yourself. Pour out of yourself. Pour out of yourself. And pour upon the life of mommy. Give her this deep understanding. Yes, you see, God has released it in the name of Jesus. The gift, make him wise by discernment. Make him wise. Now listen to me, finally. Now Jesus wants to do something.
Jesus wants to do something. Now, Jesus will shine. Are you with me? Oh my. Jesus will shine in somebody's heart. And the shining will be so intense that you will feel him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus shine. Jesus shine. Jesus shine. Jesus shine. Jesus shine. Now he just wants to, so that his reality will be seen. He said, I have not forsaken you. And I'll be with you to the end. And in the end, you will win. He said he wants to shine. He just decided to shine. Shine in the heart. For it is God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And he has shined in our hearts. He has shined in our hearts. He has shined. He has shined. He has shined. Come in as in a compassion. Come in as in a compassion. Every Akapo Samina Kore Samina Kante Ezahila Kopere Kasanama Zebra Kate Boborea Seliba Babadakos Kanto Brigade Selia Kota Manato say. For you that have been disappointed over and over again, your season has come. God will give you something that you did not pray for. He will give you something you did not pray for. Something you are not qualified for. And stepping into it. By the mercies of God. Men have disappointed you. Men have failed you. But God will give you something that you don't deserve. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, while we round up, can you just, in your heart, quietly, just thank Jesus. Thank him. In your heart.
La Coria Paris Panda has a Capura to La Habaskivo.
As a congregation, we thank you. I'm seeing the file of someone that it is as if you have been forgotten for a long time. Your hour of remembrance has come. Two things will happen simultaneously. The first thing that will happen is somebody will feel as if Jesus gives you a hug. And the second thing that will happen is as if someone, you will lose the ability to use your legs. It's as if life will leave your leg. Your leg will no longer be your own. These are two signs that will manifest in this hall. At the count of seven. One. Two. Three. Four. Jesus. Five. Six. Lord, I ask that one that you want to. Okay, it's already coming. It's 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 coming. He embraces you now. 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 Yakomene Sayeko Kali Koriba Sik. Koriba Natoba Sika Paratoko. Now for that person that you have been having all kinds of headaches. Now the Lord is removing that headache now. Now. Removing that headache. I banish that headache. You are here, you were marked for death, but God is giving you new life.